Please be seated. And let me give your singing muscles a break as I share with you today a story called The Work from a pastor named Arthur Fogarty, who used to be the pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. It was his custom every year to write a story sermon as a Christmas gift to his congregation, and The Work is one of those. It usually stands guard in the corner. Tonight, however, it rests on my knees, and I will tell you what I was told. But you won't understand any of this without some explanation. Exactly why I was driving across Kansas at 3 o'clock on Christmas morning 11 years ago is not hard to explain, but it borders on impossible to justify on any rational basis. Still, what is rational about Christmas? Especially when you're 27 and all by yourself on December 24th. So when I decided at 7 p.m. in Kansas City that the only place to be on Christmas morning was skiing outside of Denver, I packed my stuff, loaded my skis, hopped in the Jeep, and was rolling by 7:30. The reports of inclement weather did not bother me. I had chains and blankets in the back, a cooler of sandwiches and soda in the front, and my trusty CB radio anchored under the dash. I'd be okay. Didn't really zip along too much because of the steady snow, but what the heck? I was going skiing. Sunshine is for Miami Beach. What I hadn't figured on was fatigue. Climbing the ladder in a big law firm takes more mental stamina than muscles. But 350 miles down I-70, I suddenly felt someone had hooked cinder blocks on my eyelids. I pushed on for another 45 minutes on sheer willpower, but I knew I was going to have to stop. Joaquini, Quinter, Grainfield, Oakley, each Kansas town a little smaller than the last, and each with the same story I was well aware had greeted the most famous of all holiday travelers when they tried to get a hotel on Christmas Eve without calling ahead for reservations. No vacancy. I checked out 9 or so more places before I reached Brewster. Truck stop, flashed the one dead letter neon sign. But it could have read live alligator farm for all I cared, as long as they had a bed. Sorry, buddy, the store clerk said. We don't got a lot of rooms anyhow, and some guy with a big rig on the way to Omaha just got the last one. He'd probably share, but I gave him a single, and he weighs pert near 290 pounds. So you're out of luck. Ever been so tired you felt like crying? My shoulders started to shake a little as I dragged back toward my car, and I could feel the beginnings of tears in the corners of my eyes. I reached to close the door. Yo, buddy! The clerk sort of skated across the pavement. Listen, ain't much, but there's a set of abandoned pumps out back. Area's well enough lit to be safe. I gotta be up all night tonight anyway. So I won't let anybody steal your tires or nothing. Not that stuff like that happens here in Brewster. Why don't you pull around back and just sleep in your car? I'll wake you up when I get off in the morning. I guess I hesitated. No kidding, buddy. I'll watch. Just remember to crack one of your back windows so your exhaust can't plug up on you, and you'll be okay. By that time, I'd have slept on one of the pumps. Okay, I said. Thanks. Oh, one more thing, buddy. If Ezra comes out, he's harmless. Nuttier than 6 boxes of Cracker Jacks, but harmless. Around the corner, stopped just outside the glare, cranked the back handle 3/4 of a turn, reclined the seat, jacket against the window, head on jacket, and out like a light. Oh, the irony was hardly wasted. My last thought had something to do with Mary giving birth and putting the baby in the back seat of a Buick. Hey, Merry Christmas! Although the sun squinted over the horizon, it wasn't the rays that made me rub my scalp and blink. Rather, it was the shooting pain from smashing my forehead into the ceiling when I bolted awake. Jeez, that hurt. But not so much I didn't look around to see what had smacked into my window right next to my ear. The voice erupted again. Hey, Merry Christmas! And once more the car echoed with what I now recognized as something rapping on the driver's window. The face peering into the car defied age. Except for the closely cropped shards of white hair on either side of his ebony face, my caller could have passed for 30-something. Hey, Merry Christmas! He popped his walking stick against my window a third time. If I didn't answer, he might just come right through the glass. My boot crunched the snow as I coiled from the car. Morning, I croaked. Hey, Merry Christmas. You sleep out here, son? That's crazy. They say I ain't quite right. A little touched, if you know what I mean. But you won't find me snoozing in a car. You have to be Ezra, is it? That's me, son. They must have told you about me. Let's see. Nuttier than a 6 boxes of Cracker Jack, I think is what he said. Ezra snorted. Yeah, I heard that one. They think I'm squirrely. Maybe, but I don't sleep in cars. It's okay, Randy, Ezra waved my vigilant night clerk back into the store. I ain't bothering him. You go on and work your last hour. I'm going to shove some food into this young man. Without another word, he took me by the arm and headed me toward a corrugated metal building about 50 feet away. As an afterthought, Ezra yelled over his shoulder, "If I'm so crazy, how come you told him to sleep in the car?" And turning to me, he said, "And how come you listened?" Pan-fried biscuits, country ham, sunny-side eggs, hash browns, served without so much as a, "Would you like some?" Ezra just cooked, chuckling to himself occasionally while I wolfed my food. Everything washed down with coffee, the consistency of motor oil, but all in all, a fine breakfast. "Hey," I yelled, in an imitation of after my fourth biscuit, "Merry Christmas!" A small twitch came in the corner of his mouth. "Merry Christmas back to you, son. Why are you out in the car?" "Nobody to spend Christmas with, so I decided to ski. I'm on my way to Denver." "Lucky your car had plenty of gas. You could be an icicle this morning. If I'd have seen you last night, I'd have hauled you in here. But I sleep pretty hard. Anyway, got you filled up now." "I thank you, sir. How much do I owe you?" "Don't make me slap you, son." Ezra stood erect, a tan man, dignified despite his obvious lack of formal education. "It's Christmas. No decent human being in the world makes another pay for Christmas breakfast." "Well, then thank you. I guess I'll be taking off." "Hey, Mr. Merry Christmas, not so fast. I didn't say there was no obligation, just no charge." "Excuse me? You don't need excuses. You just got to help me do the work." "Say again?" "The work. The work I do." "Sounds fair," I responded. "What do you need? Something moved, delivered, or something?" "And they call me crazy? I don't need help with my job. I can do most anything and have. No, I mean the work." "Ezra, I'm sorry. I don't understand." "Don't need to, son. Just sit down there where it's warm. Yeah, sit down and listen up. You'll be skiing soon enough." Ezra pulled a stool close to the wood-burning stove, laid his walking stick across his knees, and leaned forward. He locked his eyes on mine, eyes dark, bottomless, magnetic. "A long, long time ago," he began in a way that indicated the telling of a story he had memorized and recited many times. "Long before our people came to this land in chains, one of my relatives, a man named Semenutu, left his home in what is now Libya to learn about the world and to seek his fortune. He was the son of a proud family, an ancient line of warriors who had turned to thoughts of peace and prosperity. Before he departed, his father took him aside and gave him the sacred instructions. "My son," he said, "when you return, bring with you a trophy from your greatest triumph." Semenutu, though adventurous, was a youngster of character, so he didn't seek out trouble. Instead, he tried his hand at different jobs in different places. After a while, he found he had a skill for trading. Now, his people had bartered and swapped for decades, but no one back home had ever made a living out of traveling from place to place doing so. Well, time passed, and Semenutu found himself in a place called Carchemish. Ezra paused, as if to ensure that I had kept up. "Babylonian Empire," I said. He nodded and went on. So he wandered all over the Old Testament country for years. As Ezra spoke, he rubbed his walking stick with a soft white cloth. The reddish wood glowed under his hand, warm and vibrant. Semenutu went to Jerusalem a lot. The merchants there loved to trade with Nubians. That's what they called folks like you and me, a term of respect. We were considered exotic. Anyway, on one trip to Jerusalem, Semenutu saw the great sadness, found his greatest trophy, and right then and there, he quit the merchant business and headed home with his trophy. Other family members had theirs, but Semenutu's was kept. Passed down it was, from father to child to child to child, passed down across time, across the mother continent, across the ocean, across this country, passed down all the way from Semenutu to me, Ezra, to do the work. Here it is, old Semenutu's trophy. The staff hovered at eye level, suspended only by Ezra's bony hand. The light from the open door of the stove made the walking stick shimmer. "Heart of red cedar, that's what it is, son. Cut by Semenutu's own hand. Been mine now for nearly 40 Christmases. Only touch it twice a year. Once when I oil it on the day of the great sadness, and the other on Christmas Day for the work. Now you know, son." Silence sucked most of the air out of the room. I sat there for a long time trying to understand the revelation I guessed I'd just received. When I finally spoke, I began slowly. "Ezra, that's a nice story. Does it mean anything?" "What are you talking about? Does it mean anything?" "Well, you said a lot, and it's interesting history, but the story doesn't tell me anything." Ezra shook his head as he snickered. "You're going to fly down a hill with 2x4s strapped to your feet, and they call me crazy. You're going to listen to my story and ask, does it mean anything? And they call me crazy." His eyes turned to iron. "Son, have you been paying attention?" "Yes, sir." "You go to Sunday school when you were young? Perfect attendance for 15 years. You go to college? Phi Beta Kappa at Kansas, sir." "Well, did you learn anything?" "Sir? What do they used to call New York?" "New Amsterdam." "What do they used to call Istanbul?" "Constantinople." "What do they used to call Iran?" "Persia." "West Asia?" "Assyria." "Israel?" "Palestine." "Son, what did they used to call the northern tip of Libya?" "Cyrene. Oh my God." "That's right, son. I'm a direct living descendant of Semenutu from Libya, known in his time as Simon of Cyrene. He toted the man's cross all the way up the hill. Didn't think much about it at the time. You didn't argue with soldiers. Roman said, jump. You asked, can I come down? Roman said, can I carry that? And you said, tell me how far to go. But after, when he was free to go, Simon stayed and listened and watched. He hung around the city, talking to folks, finding out more and more about the man. And 3 days later, when what happened happened, Simon went back up on Devil's Hill. They left everything up, didn't want to upset the citizens by working on Jewish Sabbath. Besides, those crosses made pretty scary reminders about who was in charge. Simon knocked the frame over and cut a 7-foot piece of the vertical beam. He dragged it back down the very slope he dragged it up, took it to his room, and spent 21 days shaping his trophy. Then when it was finished, he went home with his walking stick and started the work. Get up off your knees, son. It's a stick, not the man. Like the song says, oh, come, let us adore him. We don't need this to worship. It only helps us remember. It helps us know that without the great sadness, there wouldn't be the great joy. Without that, son, the shepherds just could have stayed in the field. If no one weeps in Jerusalem, no one ever hears the angels sing in Bethlehem. They think I'm crazy, son, but only because no one here has understood yet. I just go from place to place until I find one person who will listen and believe. Ezra reached down and placed his hand on my head as if in blessing. Hey, Merry Christmas. I enjoyed the scheme. It helped ease the loneliness of the joyous season. On the way home, I stopped in Brewster and knocked on the door of the shack behind the truck stop. But I wasn't particularly surprised when Ezra didn't answer. There wasn't even any smoke wisping out of the exhaust pipe. He had done the work and moved on. 2 years ago, UPS showed up with a package. I never even bothered to figure out how he found me. The note inside was unsurprisingly brief. I have no family. This is yours. You know the story. Do the work. It usually stands guard in the corner. Tonight, however, it rests on my knees, and I will tell you what I was told. The clean white cloth gently caresses its luster, and every time I begin, I hope my eyes grow as compelling as those of the 6 boxes of Cracker Jack Man who taught me the work. A long, long time ago, before my people came to this country in chains, a man left his home to seek his fortune. Hey, Merry Christmas. If the saying is true, which it is, the time marches on, then we must take seriously how now that we are on the other side of Christmas, why are we here now? After the angels' announcements that the child has been born for us, what's next? Like Arthur Fogarty's story, we're here to do the work. To tell the story of God's loving purpose in Jesus Christ to any person who will listen and believe. However we do the work, however we tell the story of Jesus, we land on the other side of Christmas year after year with the same commission. Now that you know the story, do the work. That's our calling as people of faith who have heard and believed. To share the good news. That's why church exists, to do the work. We were not abandoned by God. God came to us in a baby born this past week. And God did not abandon his only son in death, but raised him from the grave. New life is possible for us and for all people. And at the end of this year and the beginning of the next, let's make a New Year's resolution. To remember the reason we are here today in this church as people of faith. To do the work. To share the good news of hope and new life. Hey, Merry Christmas. Amen.